There it is.
I was hiding it. So
Tony did steal.
I can steal it later.
All right. So it's hello, hello. All right. So Teresa, you want to join us and give us an update or a briefing on?
Help us understand the Cold War tax exemption.
Cold War tax exemption, okay. Which is in effect currently.
Yes.
Right. It expires, though.
It expires, and this is a law that allows New York State to permanently enact the Cold War exemption.
Get two or one?
There's
there. Thank you.
One for you. Okay. See, actually, in our towns and topics, I copied. That's the first page. It puts it in plain English, not like what they came from. They sent us from Albany. And it says here at the bottom, note that a town is not required to eliminate the 10-year limit into the exemption. To eliminate the 10-year limitation, a town has to take affirmative action via resolution or local law. In this case, it would be a local law, I believe, depending upon how the original authorizing legislation was enacted, even if the local legislation does not reference the 10-year limit. Ours does. This is what came from Albany, which we looked at before earlier this fall. Skip that. And the Chapter 121 taxation, this is actually from the Town of Lysander Code, and we would be looking at page 2, which would be item C, to eliminate that period of 10 years. So basically, if you don't do anything, it sunsets after 10 years.
Which is next year sometime?
I think it's 2 years. I think it's 2 years.
From now?
Yeah. And attached to the town's law, I have the
You gonna say thank you?
No, it's here. I just had it.
I just keep mine in my hand.
There it is.
There it is.
There it is.
All right, throw it back.
I buried it.
Jesus stole it.
Attached to the town's law, this is from the 2017 assessment roll. Under the city and town amounts, it's just under $3,002,925,888. That's the exemption amount in the village and the town.
Of the assessed value. That's
of the assessed
impacted.
Value. How and much? It actually equates, I have the cheat sheet. It comes out too, because I have an extra copy. With the current tax rates.
Do you have this packet? It's on page 1 of 1.
Yeah.
In the assessor's report. The exemption.
Based on the tax rates for 2017, that equates to $5,148.39. Okay.
Which we would gain in revenue if we allowed these exemptions
to sunset. That's the dollar amount of savings.
Say again?
For $5,148.39. That's the dollar amount figure for those 103 exemptions in the town, including the village. Okay.
Every year.
Yeah, that's the, and it may change a little bit.
As the assessed value goes up or down.
As the value goes up or down, or new applications are received. Sometimes, you know, people move and then the exemptions come off. It's strictly a primary residency exemption, so it's applicable only to the primary residence of that veteran. So if they have 3 or 4 parcels, you know, land, vacant land, that's not applicable in this case. It's just the primary residence. So, questions?
I think it's important to point out that this is just one exemption that's available to the veterans, that they can't take this on top of other
yes.
exemptions. So each resident needs to determine whether or not this is a good fit for them. For what, 109, you said?
The 103.
103 residents.
And this
seems to be
yeah,
a
and this
good
basically covers, and we talked about this a little bit the last time, this basically covers the veterans that fell through those wartime errors for the alternative of veterans exemption, which has been around a lot longer. And there were people that served in combat and not, depending on you know where and when they served, that fell between what the state designated as a wartime. So basically, this exemption picks up all of those people that fell through those little cracks.
But I don't understand. I mean,
we weren't here when this thing, it goes from 1945 to 1991.
Yes.
There was a Korean War after World War II, and there was a Vietnam War.
It excludes, actually, that's the time frame it covers, but it excludes the other specified war eras that are covered under the alternative. So that's very confusing.
This is a catch-all.
This is a catch-all.
This is a catch-all law that was designed for people that didn't necessarily have boots on the ground in war zones.
Yeah. There was no Cold War. I mean, it was not a declared war. It was the absence of war. We were playing a high stakes game with the Soviet Union, and that was it. It wasn't the rest of the world. It was that's where the Cold War terminology came about, and it was a colloquial term. It wasn't an official term.
Right.
But anyway, do what you want. It just seems like.
So basically, I'm trying to educate you so you can decide what you want to do from this point forward.
I will try to find the book, Bob, that I read. I forgot. I'm blanking on the title now. But the point of the book on the Cold War was that, like, a lot of people in looking back, you know, you say there wasn't real combat. You know, it was a high-stakes game. But trillions of dollars were spent on it. People's lives were lost. Either in forward deployed units, whether they were in Germany in training exercises to get ready for catastrophic combat, the stress put on, and I'm not saying everybody, there were some, and Tim Baker, my past village engineer, would admit that his time in the Coast Guard in the Bahamas during the Cold War was a pretty good gig. but there were some high stakes, and there were lives lost in operations that we aren't even really.
So what happens after 1991?
They're covered under the alternative veteran.
So basically,
it's a wartime.
If you join the armed forces, the expectation is you will get a tax break.
Not until you're discharged, though. We don't have an active armed forces exemption. We have a veterans exemption. We have multiple veterans exemptions.
So when you get out, you have a number of options, depending on where you fall and where you serve.
This isn't the best option.
No, the old style, this is very minimal compared to what we call the old style veterans exemptions that were based either on eligible funds or a different calculation. Those exemptions that have been prorated forward can be very large. This is a flat percentage up to a specific ceiling. That ranges from 15 to 25% of the assessed value.
So there is a law in effect right now giving them a 10-year exemption.
Yes.
And that's going to sunset soon.
Yeah, I think it's 2 years.
And either we extend it
permanently.
Yeah.
Permanently.
Yeah. Or if you do nothing, then it sunsets.
And it's 103 residents.
Yep, at this point, yes.
It's costing, right now it's $5,000.
Yep, $5,000 and change.
Which sounds pretty minimal to me.
Where'd you get the number? How many?
103.
What page am I looking at? I'm looking at page.
It's around $3 million in assessed value, which translates to a little over $5,000 in actual tax dollars.
103 exemptions, which is the first page of that. 103. And using the tax rates from this year. Those are actually a breakdown of the village and the town separately. So there's 14 in the village and there's 84 in the town for a total of 103.
Gotcha.
Okay. Now, a public hearing would be required, I believe. If you're going to do that, the first step would be the public hearing.
So this was passed because it doesn't give a date that it sunsets. It just says 10 years.
10 year, yeah.
So you got to figure out.
I think it's within the next year or two.
Yeah.
What's the date of our local law?
Let's see. Data of the local law.
2009, so 2019.
Yep. It was adopted in October of 2009. So I don't believe it started because of the date it was passed. It was October. So it would start with the January. It would start with the 2010 assessment roll. So
2020.
Actually, I think it's 2019 if you do the 10 years, because you count 10.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I believe it would be 19.
I'm one of five on the board. I don't think we do enough for our veterans, regardless of the time period that they served. It's money that we haven't realized. It's not a huge impact. I know there were some pretty nice, comfortable roles in certain armed services in certain parts of the world, but there are also people sitting in silos waiting for that phone call to come. And I'd be in favor of setting a public hearing and addressing this as soon as possible and putting this to bed as soon as possible, one way or another.
I agree with you. It's $5,000. It's only 103 residents. You know, I don't see any reason why we should make a change.
Anyone who knows me,
I agree.
I support it 100%.
Bob?
Well, do a public hearing, sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Any more questions?
No.
Think of?
No. Do we have a motion? We don't have a motion on here. Are you guys? We could set that for have a public hearing. Our second meeting in December. I think there's enough time to get that in. Or no?
2 weeks.
It depends on when the. I don't know the publication times.
We got holidays and they're coming up too.
So why don't we set a public hearing for
the first meeting
in January? That's going to be our annual meeting. That's a big meeting.
You can wait till the second.
There's no hurry, I guess.
No,
there's no hurry.
You got plenty of time.
I'd
wait till I would do it for the second meeting.
Okay.
In January.
Yeah, that'll give us time to get the thing published.
So I'll put that on the agenda just to set
a public hearing.
Yeah.
Next meeting. Yeah.
Okay. And if you want me to be there to, you know, for informational purposes, just let me know. Okay?
I appreciate it. Thanks for the briefing. Very thorough.
No problem.
Thank you.
Have a good night, everyone.
All right. Thank you. Be safe.
So this is a revised version of the whistleblower policy that I showed you guys before. I know Bob had a concern. I think I answered it or addressed it.
What was my concern?
I think that there was a third paragraph that didn't make sense, so we extracted that. I think the only other comment that we had was under a procedure, process for raising a concern, where it says employment-related concerns should continue to be reported through normal channels, such as your immediate supervisor or department head. I think that's really important that it stays. I mean, if an MEO has a concern or a problem, he still should report it to the highway superintendent. You know, there's no reason why somebody should be going to the town board unless there's a significant allegation or an issue, which it clearly says. The reason I brought this up, was before I got on the board, 5 or 6 years ago, the town spent $4,000 for an audit. They wanted to make sure that the books were okay. One of the recommendations from the audit was you guys should just have a whistleblower policy on the books to protect yourself. I'm aware the state has one. I don't think that this policy needs to be voted on separately, but I know that we're working on a list of other policies. I just figured we could add this to it. If you guys think there's something we could add to it, again, please let me know, but we've been tossing this around for a while now. So.
You got a grammar problem or whatever it is in the second sentence of the first bullet under procedure one, the process for raising a concern.
This was copy and pasted from pretty much it's Camillus's policy, so
well,
I didn't really.
Then they have one.
Okay, I didn't create this. This is was a boilerplate policy.
I just don't, it doesn't make sense what it says.
Where? Bob?
The first bullet, the second sentence of the first bullet under procedure one, process for raising a concern. Such concerns, comma, including those related to unethical or illegal conduct may be reported to the town supervisor or our directly to the town board.
Or directly to our town board, okay.
So we're going to push something through, it's got to be perfect.
The third bullet, there's a...
Yeah.
Third bullet needs a little... It's a run-on sentence. The concern should be reported promptly if possible within 5 business days of the initial action. There should be a semicolon in there. Minimum.
I won't send an email to the kind of email us.
No, no, don't do that. But we want ours right.
Tony, do you think there's anything we could add?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head, no.
It's a little confusing on the procedure.
Okay.
Procedure one. So if you read through it, bullet point one says reporting. The whistleblowing procedure is intended to be used for serious and sensitive issues. Such concerns, including those related to unethical or illegal conduct, may be reported to the town supervisor or, I think we're going to say, directly to the town board. And, but then it says in an employment, related concerns, and what I don't know what that related concerns should continue to be reported through normal channels. So, like, what's the difference?
I'm assuming what they meant when they said related is normal concerns with a department. Basic concerns with the department should still go through the department head. That's how what I took from reading it.
Do they mean related to the employment?
Yeah, I mean, what's the word employment with a colon after it means?
Yeah, it doesn't.
Makes no sense.
We might want to look at a different town.
Okay.
I mean, build upon. I mean, this gives you a track to run on, but I don't know if we're there.
No, that's what I was looking for.
The other thing we also need to look at, you know, Camillus is a town, is a much different town than we are in size and scope of operations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a police department that this also is related to, I'm sure. And maybe Gene, you're in the audience. Does the town of Camillus have multiple levels of management in the highway department? Do they have foremen and middle management?
I imagine they do have probably crew leaders because they're teamsters. Don't really find too many foremen in the teamster arrangement because foremen are considered management.
So you think they might have crew leaders, yeah.
Crew leader can work in the crew and yet be supervisory. So I don't know off the top of my head specifically what Camillus is, but there are some levels because the superintendent manages not only the highway but the dump.
Right.
Mm. He lost, but they did fire him, I believe. He's still the dump superintendent.
Yeah, so I guess.
I don't know specifically what they got, but there's some levels there.
Okay. So, what you might want to do, Roman, when you're looking at this, is, and I do that, you know, I look at, I don't want to reinvent the wheel. A lot of this stuff has been looked at a million times. We're not the first organization that's ever looked to possibly put in a whistleblower policy, but you know we are unique in the fact that you know we don't have a lot of middle management.
Right.
So if an employee has an issue, it's typically if it's with management, it's with their department head. And do you really want them if the issue's with their department head to
no.
raise that issue with the department
head?
And that's exactly where this policy or procedure would be steering them. So you know, maybe take a look at this policy as it relates to how we're set up.
Sure.
As from an employment standpoint. You know, other than that, you know, New York State, my opinion is New York State covers.
Oh, I totally agree.
This is more of a procedural policy. It's not...
They've already got protection.
Yeah, they've already got protection. So I think the focus of this policy that you're presenting should be on procedure.
Okay.
And again...
And the only reason I brought it up was I figured that, you know, it was an issue that the audit mentioned, so I wanted to try to look into it. But I realize there's a lot of protection with the state, so.
Okay. So more work to be done.
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
I didn't see that, going back to the due thing, it does say that they can change...
The rates?
The agreement, which, you know, I don't know what that does to the rates, because it doesn't say what the rates are.
All right, well, let me go back, since we don't really have anything else to, unless there's anything that you guys want to, we've got some time here. Is there anything you want to add to the work session that you want to talk about?
No, I would.
It'd be nice to nail down this, dude. So
I would like just a quick overview on the background on the West Phoenix fire thing. We've done it before, just, you know, why, you know, it comes up every year, blah, blah, blah. What's different about that than the other things? And then, is this something new, this Public Employer Risk Management Association agenda item B? Because I don't have any memory of anything about that.
Oh, yeah. PERMA. We have a relationship with PERMA. They come in and they do our training. They do our sexual harassment training. That's an organization that we subscribe to that is a big help to us in being compliant to state law when it comes to training and making sure. Actually, we came... to bring the board up to speed, an employee filed a complaint to the state personnel. They came in and they wanted to see our workplace violence policies and procedures. And it's unannounced, they always are. It was took up 4 hours of a morning. They went through everything with a fine-tooth comb, saw that we were compliant on everything except we needed to work on our program a little bit more. John Salisbury had, I think, started the process, had done an analysis, went through, talked to each employee, asked them questions about any perceived threats to them on the job, any dangerous situations, whether it be leaving the building at night in a dark environment, cameras, you name it. There was a pretty thorough review. Where I think they fell a little short, and we'll be notified officially sometime in January, is on the program. We've got to come up with a better, we have a program policy statement, mm-hmm. but we're weak on the program. So we'll be addressing that when we get the official letter. But
now when you say program on to just a talk on what...
No, basically, so the program is based on an analysis of any perceived workplace safety issues. So, and ironically, you know, we've done a lot to address employee safety just on phase one of our building modifications mm-hmm. and the follow-up on phase two. So they were really impressed with us as far as our attention to employee safety. What they needed to see was more on paper. This was a concern, and this was an action by the town board to alleviate that concern or that threat environment. That just wasn't done. I don't know why. But
by acknowledging something as a, you know, if we've already taken care of the situation, why would we need to? But I'm just trying to understand, why would we put it in writing?
They need to see it on paper.
Okay.
I mean, it's one thing we did the first phase. We did the analysis part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the second phase just was never done. So,
okay.
But they were very complimentary of the work that we had put in.
I'm totally baffled and lost. What are we talking about here? This is a company that... that handles our workers' compensation program?
Yeah, yeah, our liability program. So they come in and they do sexual harassment training, workplace violence training.
I got that, but I don't even know who. I'm not saying I'm not for this. It sounds like it's a boilerplate thing. I've never heard of this before. So basically, we provide workers' compensation as required by the state of New York. But PERMA is an intermediary agency that does that work for us. It basically says that PERMA agrees to provide the member, that's us, with workers' compensation coverage as described in PERMA's certificate of coverage, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So we don't buy workers. This is our insurance agent. I don't know who these people are. I've never heard of this before. And I'm not against it, but I just, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. It's a better question for David because he handles this.
So I'd like to, and basically this says if we sign it, this agreement will renew automatically for successive one-year terms each year thereafter on the anniversary date of its commencement. So once you sign it, it's there forever until we decide we don't want it anymore.
So is that
Hank Chapman.
So is that dude thing too, by the way. It's renewable each year, so you gotta.
Hank Chapman, basically, this is who we go through our comp with. Those documents came from Hank.
This is boring, and it's just the way. But I'm just asking the question because I don't remember ever doing this before. So.
Oh, PERMA's been here.
I'm not sure that we haven't done it before.
Okay.
I don't recall.
I don't recall either. So if Dave can just shed some light on, you know, what this is, you know.
What does this sentence mean?
The member. And agrees to the following terms. I don't know.
So is it just a typo?
Probably the member and them. In PERMA.
The member and.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a document they use all the time or whatever.
Yeah, guys, this is just a renewal.
But
I mean, we've been with PERMA forever. Is this the first time you guys have ever heard of PERMA?
I don't remember, but you know, if we may have approved it in the past, but this is the first time.
Is that just a typo?
Well, I insisted on making this a board resolution. Hank suggested I sign it, and that it didn't require because it was a renewal. And I was like, well, I'm not signing any contract. So this might be the first time we've actually had a motion to approve it. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is the first time you set eyes on.
Am I reading this correctly, Tony, that we can cancel at any time?
Yeah.
If we give 60 days notice, we get a refund for the time that we didn't use? For termination of convenience.
So
the entire subscription fee for
PERMA
initial term.
No, Dave.
Dave will be here.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. We can ask him.
Yeah.
Perfect. So you got to terminate it within 60 days of the term. So starts in January, you got to terminate it.
Okay.
The first 60 days, then you get the whole year back.
Okay.
But after that, you can terminate it with
any time, but you just don't get a refund.
You're not going to get, right.
Okay.
That's just for the first or whatever, the initial term.
Okay.
You just got to terminate it right away, basically.
Which is, there's probably no reason that would happen.
So we'll just get an explanation from Dave on that. And then my only question on the fire district. So this fire district, I'm always blurry about the fire districts, but they all tax the residents for themselves.
Enterprise Fire District.
Right.
Yep.
This one, what's the story in the history with this one that we actually pay this fire?
Is this a fire protection?
I think this is a contract.
Yeah.
Yeah, and their costs went up 2%.
No, but why are we paying them and we don't pay any other fire department?
Yeah, we pay Northwest.
We pay Northwest.
Northwest Fire District. Well, we are a pass-through
For the fire districts.
For the fire districts.
Fire protects. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you have a copy of the town law or town. What's the magazine we just got?
I do right here.
Yeah, I think there's a provision and they've changed something about fire districts. They're requiring the fire districts to provide more information, I think, if I recall. Yeah, increased transparency in fire protection contracts. It goes into effect next year, 2018, but it requires them to itemize the cost attributable to the contract, their most recent annual report, company's most recent verified certificate pursuant to not-for-profit, fire company's most recent internal revenue service form 990, fire company's most recent annual report. That's with the fire protection districts. The fire districts, they just give you their thing and they say, here, put it on the tax bill. You can't do
this. So why do we have both kinds?
Because this is a contract for them to protect us specifically, as opposed to the fire department running their own business.
I know, but why, I'm just asking rhetorically, why are there two approaches to fire protection?
There's more than two.
Because I believe Phoenix Fire Department is in Oswego County.
Okay.
Right? And they happen to be closer to West Phoenix than Lysander or the Northwest or Cody or Bowensville or Cold Springs. So we hired them to protect West Phoenix.
Whereas all the other ones are within the boundaries of the town of Lysander. They protect
whatever their boundaries are.
But they just send us a notification to put into the taxes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
For those residents.
And there's nothing you do about it. That's whatever they say.
So is this the only fire protection district we have, or is there another one?
I think that's the only one.
Okay.
So starting, I don't know whether, I mean, this is going to be for next year. It says it's effective. Law goes into effect January 1st and applies to all fire protections with a term commencing after March 1st. So I don't know what the term of their contract is. But if it's before March 1st.
I think it's January
1st. So it probably doesn't apply to them until next year.
That's a lot more for them to provide as far as information.
Because for the most part, you don't get very much at all.
Right. Right. Basically, that's the exact same agreement.
Yeah.
I got it. This number was crossed off, and a 2% increase was added to the old number, and that was.
So next year, you can say to them, hey.
And I want to give them a heads up.
Yeah.
Because that's we will need, as per New York State law, we will need these in addition to your quote.
So this number, 106,323, is that what we put in our budget?
For that district, yes. That's one of our special districts that we look over.
Okay.
But I think Bob's explanation is, it wasn't that clear to me. It's just because they're not taxing our residents, they're taxing up in there, so they have no way of recouping the coverage that they're providing to the town of Lysander residents, except if we pay for them. Because they're not, if you live wherever this is, like
Ann Smiley's house.
Yeah, she's paying the town of Lysander taxes, but she's not paying taxes to fund this company. So
you would have a tax bill with a fire district and your special district,
right,
or a fire protection district.
Right.
So depending where you live. And
well, I was just trying.
You're going to pay one way or the other.
No, I know that. I just wanted to understand why you have both kinds.
Yeah.
And I think Bob's explanation is that it's because.
But don't we have a contract with Northwest?
We have a Northwest Fire District. We have a contract with.
So we do.
And why do we have that?
Northwest Fire District is a district that spans the towns. It's not only in Lysander, but it also includes
a section of
Van Buren.
Yeah.
You know, there's all sorts of different. That's a continued source of frustration for shared services, for a shared service focus on fire protection, because there's so many different. First of all, there's so many different types of entities that you contract with to provide that fire protection. Towns will sometimes contract out. Well, what we used to do for Baldwinsville is the towns used to utilize for big chunks of their area, the village of Baldwinsville. So they would rip a check to the village of Baldwinsville for fire protection. And naturally, towns would be skeptical of that, and they tend to think that they're overpaying for fire protection, and that's why you have certain people take advantage of that, because you have fire departments that never think they get paid enough, and you have towns that think they're paying too much, insert attorneys, and now all of a sudden you're getting a lot of independent fire departments. So.
Is he blaming that on attorneys?
It's sort of like that.
It's not like that to me.
No, I'm not blaming it. That's the reality. All right, so let me go find the numbers for dudes, the actual contractual amount. It's ballpark of 15 and change, and then an annual renewal of 5. G
Gene, I got your recommendation on DP on the DPW.
Not a recommendation, it's something that
a comparable
out there that we should look at, and that's a state contract.
Yep.
So
it's good. It's
same kind of service.
It's similar. It's DPW focused. We don't have a DPW. We have a highway. And it incorporates some things that we don't necessarily need right now. Is they do payroll and they do a bunch of other things. What drew me to Dude Solutions was it went beyond our highway department. It was a software platform that can be incorporated into all departments, so that it increases our ability to communicate interdepartmentally. If we have Greg from the assessor's office out doing an inspection and he sees a sign down or something that the highway might want to know about, he can actually, when he gets back to the office, go to Dude Solutions and create a work order that would go right to the highway superintendent. Likewise, if the highway superintendent was out and about and he noticed that there was a large pole barn being built that he didn't recognize before, he could communicate the codes and say, are you aware of this project going on this address? And then codes can look it up. So there's
good interaction.
That it gives us multiple department interactions. A DPW is a DPW focused platform.
Well, let me ask you this, Joe. I support this concept. I mean, and I continue to support it. And I supported it through the budget deliberations. My only concern or question is, Dude Solutions knocked on your door, or you heard about them, and they dazzled you. As you know, I've been there. You know, because being commissioner of county parks, I mean, you get like, we can do this for you. We can take all your headaches away, right? And my only concern is, you know, are there other companies that do things that we're looking for comprehensively? I get the difference between a DPW program and one that's more applicable system-wide. But we have the time. Should we, or do you think it's a waste of time to do an RFP and say, look, this is what we're looking for, world. Are there other software providers, or whatever you want to classify these folks as, that can do the same thing? And it's not even the question of money. I just want to make sure that whatever we buy into, it is the cat's meow.
Yeah, yeah. So, we got to this point. Basically, there are a number of frustrations that I've experienced, and I think the board has experienced, as far as wanting to track work. We have an issue year after year for billing out on for AL services to certain districts. You know, there's a number of, you know, we have issues around departments communicating with each other, and I think sometimes stepping on each other's toes. And so over the last year and a half, 2 years, you know, I've been going to the folks that have been here. I've talked to Al. I talked to Gene. You know, what have we looked at in the past? And Dude Solutions was one that impressed Gene initially, and that Al was impressed with. So that was an organization that I keyed in on and sat through a number of presentations. It wasn't just one. It was actually, because we were originally thinking, all right, if it works for us here, if it could work for us here, could it work for the village of Baldwinsville, and could it work for the town of Van Buren? And if it could, maybe we could all jump in and benefit from this, you know, the same system. You know, so that was a focus that I had, you know, a concern that Gene had with this related to whether or not there were other municipalities upstate that were utilizing the system. Phoenix does. They use it for a very small part of their operation over there, but that was the closest municipality that we could find to address Gene's concern of as far as what other municipalities in upstate New York were utilizing Dude solutions. With this other company that Gene had mentioned, this DPW outfit, there's not an entity in upstate New York that utilizes this DPW. They're downstate entities.
But are there other?
There's probably, as far as software packages, there's a number. You know, I haven't found I just found an organization that addresses our concerns. And I found an organization that dropped their original quote to try to impress us here. And I found an organization that was continually looking to solve the problems that I was communicating to them, bringing your concerns from the board as far as questions that were being asked. How many road miles have we worked on? How much? Where did the $680,000 go that we budgeted last year? You know, helping us come up with better tracking for our MS4 reports as far as being able to support an audit. This is, I mean, there's probably, and I hate to use it because I got sick of hearing it. There was one elected official that I used to work with who would say, and I have my own tics, but he would say sometimes analysis can create paralysis. And this is I haven't found a better group. I've looked.
So in your conversations with all the other town supervisors, nobody else is doing anything like this?
No. Well, Van Buren was going through a pretty... their reason for not jumping on board initially, I think, revolved around some of the politics that were going on. The village wanted to take a wait-and-see approach. So, you know, I guess that's one of the reasons why maybe Dude Solutions was very competitive as far as sharpening their pencil and their pricing, is because I think they want to impress municipalities up here. I think because there's a lot of low-hanging fruit. There's a lot of municipalities that have filing cabinets bulging with paperwork.
I'm sorry for interrupting you, but don't confuse the, I mean, at least from my perspective, yeah, this is definitely what we want to do this. We've got all of this data, and it's sitting there gathering dust because we don't know how to manipulate it. I just want to make sure, like, I'll give you an analogy. Someone knocked, we used to, believe it or not, pick a date when everybody could come to the Liverpool office in Onondaga Lake Park to sign up for picnic reservations. People actually got there at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, waiting online. And then, you know, and then through the 90s with the advent of computers, you know, several, 6 or 7 or 8 companies knocked on my door. We've got the picnic reservation program that is the be-all picnic reservation program.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally bought one, and it was a crock of, well, we're on tape. It didn't
a crock work. Of, you know what?
Yeah. It didn't work, okay? And it was embarrassing, it was terrible, and you have, and unfortunately, once you start putting all this data in an electronic matrix like that, if you switch companies, it's like, oh man, what do you do?
Well, we did.
So and I just want to make sure that this particular company, and I'm really shocked that the town of Lysander is once again going to lead the way, and all of the other towns in Onondaga County, including Onondaga County and the city of Syracuse, nobody's doing this? We're the only ones? Come on. What the heck? I wish somebody else was doing it.
Well, there's a reluctance to change. There really is. I mean, there's an inertia problem. Look, we've done it this way forever. Why do we need to change? Why do we need to spend the money? And I think it goes back to one of the principles that I ran on, and I think Bob and Pete ran on, is accountability. And, you know, what the taxpayers, they understand, look, probably the best deal they get as far as property taxes is with their local municipality. They get to see the plows on the road. They get to come to a board meeting and talk face-to-face with their elected representatives. They get to see that. This takes it to the next level. This, at the end, is going to allow the highway superintendent to run his own, if he wants, he could do a year-end presentation on the activities of the highway. He can, from, okay, you allocated to my department $2 million, and this is where the $2 million
went. Right, and Joe, maybe I'm not making myself clear, but if you go online to buy a book or whatever, and you go to Amazon, okay, it is the simplest, cleanest way to do it. They figure out when you're making mistakes, and you can always go back to the page, and then, you know, to this day, if you make you want to reserve a state campground in one of the New York State park systems, it's tedious, okay? And if you make a mistake, you have to start from the beginning again. Amazon doesn't you know, they're a multi-trillion dollar operation, and they're so streamlined. I just want to make sure that this program does it, and maybe it's worth spending $15,000 in the year 2018. And absolutely not let it renew automatically, but we have to, you know, I'd like to see a report, you know, every quarter from you saying this is what the program has accomplished.
Well, here's the beauty of it. You're going to be able to run your own report.
I don't want to run my own report.
I want
a presentation at a work session for 15 minutes and you pick it, you know, but this is what we've learned about our operation.
Yeah, that's fine, but like you say, there's going to be responsibility. This is going to be, every board member is going to have the ability to generate reports. So if Roman has some time on a weekend and he goes, you know, I wonder what the guys have been up to this last quarter. He can run that report. It will break down what the guys have been up to, what they're doing, how many catch basins have we cleaned, how much... Yeah, how many miles have we?
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't want to do that as a board member.
Well, you don't have to.
No, I'm a policy. My job is policy.
Maybe Roman does.
I just want to make sure that the operation of this town, the administration, can provide the board with that kind of analysis. This is what we've learned.
Yeah, and here's the other important factor. You know, he may not be here yet, but we have a highway superintendent elect that's on board with this. That has sat through a presentation. I wouldn't continue recommending this software package unless our incoming highway superintendent was comfortable with it as well.
So that was what I wanted to ask, was my question. You just pretty much answered it. Because we can control every department, this board can control every department but one. The highway superintendent can decide not to do this. So based on, because during the budget he was present, he listened to the spiel for it, and I think this is a great idea. I would just be nervous if the highway superintendent decided not to do it, because his department is,
no,
that's the biggest one.
The other thing that impressed me with this particular company is because it's not just a cookie cutter software package that you plug information in and you get whatever out. You know, they're going to send a team here sometime in February, if we move forward with this, that's going to talk to the highway office. They're going to download all the forms, applicable forms that are related to that office, MS4 forms in our engineering department. They're going to go through every department, sit down, parks. How does Parks want to communicate with their employees? You know, registration forms, everything. They're going to come here for like three full days, and sit with and get to know our operation and customize this package. And that's just the start. Then we have unlimited customer service from 8 in the morning to 6 o'clock at night. If Al has a question, because let's say Roman requests a report. Al, I want to see what you've billed out the last quarter. Okay. Al blanks, I don't know how to do that report. Calls customer service. They're available from 8 o'clock to 6 o'clock at night. Runs the report. So from a customer service perspective, we're going to have that kind of support. Because it's new. That was a concern of mine. You know, it's technology can be intimidating, and if you don't have the help or the backing that can also be an obstacle, but they're going to be there.
And go ahead, Peter.
Okay, so I just want to make it clear, I don't view this as an opportunity for control.
No.
It's an opportunity
for data collection.
For transparency. So people want to know where your tax dollars are going. It's easier for department heads to develop that information for you. I don't see myself going in and generating a report because I want to, but the residents of the town may want to know where their tax dollars are spent, and it's the opportunity for department heads to easily access that information and put it into a format that people can understand.
I mean, think about it. Now, I had the privilege, really the privilege, of watching our highway workers put in a new catch basin out in Chatham Woods. I was there for like 3 hours just watching work. But what I didn't have is I didn't have an idea of actually what that project cost beyond the physical structures that we were putting in the ground. So, okay, we've got 5 guys on the job. It's taken them that particular day 4 hours to complete a task. What does that compute in wages? We have equipment out there. We're using equipment. You know, we have this. You know, you can actually job cost. You can put it down and pump a report. How much did we catch on? How much did we spend on catch basins?
Right.
How much did we spend mowing? How many miles did we get as a result of that? You're going to be able to break down. I mean, not to to a micro level. I mean, there's going to be jobs where guys are, you know, sweeping the floor. I don't know, or changing light bulbs, and we'll have a miscellaneous, you know.
And I guess all I meant was we can mandate this in most of the offices. We can say that going forward, Al uses this.
Al's looking forward to it.
And I'm just using that as an example, or any other department. I just want to make sure if we're spending the $15,000, that every department is utilizing this to the best of their ability.
Yeah, and I'll give you another example. You know, on occasion, Gene does work for parks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He'll work on a project. Maybe he works on a trail, and the guys are out there, highway equipment's out there, highway guys are out there. He can bill back to parks easily.
You
can get vouchered and get paid back for that work. Yeah. What? What?
I think I'm just reading your mind.
Okay. I don't want to micromanage any work in this town, and this is a catch-22, and it's a paradox that government finds itself into, because I think we ought to be able to give our department heads and you the tools you need to say, are we doing things as effectively as possible? This tool can be used by anybody in the public to examine every single day what our employees are doing.
If we want them to.
No, it's foilable. And that's a concern that I have here. And I don't want to make it sound like I don't want to keep things from the public, but, you know, there's folks out there that, you know, one of their main tools are monkey wrenches. And I think we need to be concerned about that. Because I don't want to see people wasting time responding to those kinds of queries. How come John Doe, you know, took him 2 minutes to drive the truck from this point here, and every other day it took 90 seconds. So why did it take 2 minutes today? And you know what? I wish I could say that those people weren't out there making that phone call to you.
I know, but you can't let those people, for the vast majority of the public, they will be completely uninterested in this.
I would hope so.
They're not out there thinking about, oh boy, you know, they might be concerned if they see 2 or 3 town trucks parked behind a gas station and a bunch of guys not doing a lot of things. And in that regard, I would hope that they would pick up the phone and say, what's the deal with that? Because perception is not reality sometimes. Sometimes guys are on an actual coffee break, they get breaks. You know, so I just, you know, I it's really got my name written all over this. If it fails, I've got egg all over my face. I've done a lot of research into this. I've heard concerns from this board. I've heard concerns from our department heads, and I think this addresses a lot of those concerns. Is it 15 grand up front this year? Yeah. But that gets us onboarding. It gets us, there's going to be a lot of work being done on this software package to customize it for us. Going forward, it's about 5 grand a year. This should pay for itself. I'm hoping in just the billing alone.
Yeah.
Gene, I don't think we ever got a voucher from Highway Work done in the parks 2 years ago for that trail project.
Yes, we did. I guess you didn't. You weren't here.
I never saw a voucher for it.
A jam team paid for that before they left.
Okay, I didn't see that.
And I
mean, I could go back and research that. But it's money like that where,
sure,
you know, taxpayers, that should have been. The highway portion of our budget should not have paid for work that was done in the park.
Well, Joe, I think this is a great idea. I guess my biggest concern was just I wanted to see that the highway was going to utilize this too, because that's your that's what sold me on it, was to be able to see what our highway is going to be able to do.
Keep in mind that the highway, it's an elected official, but in addition to the duties that the highway superintendent has, mm-hmm, by law, he also has to follow the directions of the town board. So if the town board said he will do this, he has to do it, otherwise he's being insubordinate.
Okay.
I mean, you can continue to write job orders and work orders on a pad of paper or on a whiteboard. There's nothing says, all you're going to do here is you can either leave them in a digital environment or print them out and hang them. You still issue a piece of paper, there's your work order. These are the folks that I want on the job.
Yep.
And this is the equipment that we're going to use for it. When you're done working on it, bring them back. We'll sign off on it. And the highway superintendent doesn't have to do it. Cindy could do it, or you could assign someone to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't. It doesn't have to be the highway superintendent. But all it does is once it's recorded, it's cataloged in
data.
And it's data.
It's just digitalizing an archaic system.
Okay. It is archaic. Right? It's ridiculous.
I mean, it's paper now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. So, Bob, to your, I would enjoy getting a quarterly update from the highway superintendent on activities, seasonally. You could break it down into seasons. This is how many times the guys went out. This is how much salt was laid out. This is how much we put out in overtime.
Yeah, and I don't even know if I want that kind of report. I would like, you know, a report that says, this is what I learned about my department. You know, and this is, and here are some of the action steps that I've taken to change whatever it is that he or she learned about.
No doubt. See, that's the other thing. You know, you can break down when you have that data, that backlog of data, you can go back and look for efficiencies.
All right. So if you want us to pass this resolution, you got to put a price tag in here. So before 7 o'clock, because there's no price tag. And
all right, you're right. My clock is much closer than, I don't need to squint at that.
And I would like to have, you know, some statement to the effect that it's not going to automatically renew without the board's approval next December.
Yeah, but the onus on those things is on the board.
Right.
So what you should do is somehow diary it for, I think it's 45 days, if I remember correctly. Before the renewal date, that we have to notify. If we're not going
yeah,
to renew, we have to notify them.
Yeah.
If you don't do that, you're renewed for another year.
Can we put it in the motion?
Or why can't we change the agreement that says we're not going to automatically renew? No,
the agreement says unless you object, it will automatically renew. So the onus is upon you to say, I want to opt out.
Yeah. So we can make a note. Can we make a note on the contract that I signed, where we put a line through and we just indicate that this will be renewed annually by board resolution? This contract will be renewed annually.
Well, if you want to change it to say that, you can say that the contract will only be renewed by board resolution as opposed to automatically renewed.
Absolutely.
Will they accept that?
That's up to them.
They should. It said unless you object.
Well, let me just tell you, from my experience and not just town stuff, these contracts that say automatically renewed, You find the same thing when you go online and get something. You say, oh,
I was just thinking that.
Go for 60 days and then you can get out. People don't get out.
I hate that.
And yeah. It keeps on going. And the same
magazine
thing happens
with subscriptions.
We just had this.
It was on Time. That's how they got me.
We just had one with Cintas, which cleans our rugs in the office. Same thing. They had a thing that automatically renewed. Nobody paid attention to, you know.
Probably your garbage.
So can
services.
We strike that out of this, pass the resolution,
if
we strike it, and then it's up to them to decide if they'll sign it with our...
You can do that.
Yeah, because isn't it, in principle, illegal? And we're not allowed to encumber future towns.
Yeah, but those kinds of clauses are
okay.
Illegal, yeah.
All right. Well, I would
that's what most, you know, most companies do that because...
Yeah. Our legal services are the same way.
Yeah.
Joe, before we sign,
he's so, after me tonight.
So is that how you would like it? You want to strike that section?
Yes.
Okay.
So where is that? Depending upon board approval, that's, you know.
And any note you make is really a note to yourself to inject.
Yeah, we got to say that the renewal of this contract will only happen upon board resolution.
Prior to the end of fiscal year.
Joe, would it help you if we gave you the confidence that we were definitely going to approve this, but maybe table it to the next meeting, and then you could change the contract by talking to these people?
Well, I'm going to talk to them tomorrow.
Right, but do you want us to vote on that, or do you want to talk to them first and then change the wording?
Well, why don't you just make it contingent on our ability to renew annually?
Okay.
And if they won't do it, then I don't know.
Well, then it doesn't.
They're going to do it.
You know, well...
I don't know why you wouldn't.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're confident in your, in your product.
Right.
I mean, like I say, the companies do that because most of the time you forget.
People don't react.
And it's, hey, I just said I want to change. Sorry, the deadline's gone. You're renewed for another year.
Gene?
Would you like to hear from me now or wait for the public comment period?
Sure.
I really have something to say about this.
Go ahead.
I want to congratulate Bob Taurasi for being duly diligent and having been in the position. He's been burnt with this sort of stuff before. That's why he's being cautious. We're not saying that this is a bad program, but we're moving very fast into an area that you have no experience with.
I completely disagree with that. I've been talking about this for 7 months.
Has the full weight of New York State behind it. New York State has a pilot program going on in Dutchess County. The whole county, Dutchess County, the state, the 15,000 buy-in fee, New York State paid that for Dutchess County. And the towns only are having to pay the 5,000, the maintenance fee, the annual maintenance fee. And they have this. And it's not necessarily DPW gear. The name of the vendor, the state put out an RFP, and there were bids, and the company that won the bid to create the system happens to be DPW is their name, DPW something or other. That was their focus in their previous life, but there's a program. Dutchess County is just getting off the ground with it. There's 6 towns already have bought in. Any town can jump in, piggyback onto this thing because the state did all the heavy lifting to get it established. So all you got to pay is your admission ticket. Now, I have not looked at every little snippet of it, but I see that 6 towns are already into it in Dutchess County, and Dude Solutions has been around for at least 5 years because Al and I looked at that back in 2012 when we first came here, and like Bob described, we were dazzled. Holy crap, this is great. But then we asked for a list of all their customers in New York State so we could go rub elbows and see, and guess what, there weren't any others. And I thought, the whole state, there's no one. I mean, there's something wrong with this picture. There's either another answer out there or there's something about their program that's not attractive to New York State municipalities. So anyway, when I became painfully aware that you were dazzled and ready to, you know, engage with this thing, I said, you know, Al and I promised ourselves we were going to find something else, and we got buried in our work and never, you know, that's the one thing. Going out the door, the one thing I'm sorry is that I didn't spend more time looking for that solution versus just trying to churn the paper and survive, okay? But there is this thing that is a huge program, a pilot program paid for by New York State. So I got to think that somebody in Dutchess County has some pretty powerful representatives in the Assembly or the State Senate to get that money. But I don't think to jump into new solutions without fully investigating this program the New York State already paid for, I think I would look into that a little more thoroughly before I went, you know, to do solutions. You will be the first and only one in upstate New York.
No, that's
There's
not
one
true.
Up. Yes, you are.
Cortland.
The city of Cortland has no relationship to town government. Neither does the village.
Does Dutchess County?
The village of Phoenix is not fully engaged in that. I went there and saw it. We saw it in September. They'd had it since July. And they had six entries. And when they asked for a report, the famous report that's supposed to be at the snap of your fingers from July to September, there was only six entries in there. So I'm not down in Dude Solutions, but I'm saying before, do your due diligence and make sure you look thoroughly at whatever else might be out there.
Gene, the one from the state, do you know if that goes across departments or is it just DPW?
It's not DPW. DPW is part of the name of the vendor.
Right. I heard you say that, but do you know if it communicates?
I don't know the depth and the breadth. As soon as I got it, I turned it over to Al, so that, you know, I got other issues. I'm getting ready for a snowstorm. But it is the description of it in their brochure says it does cover the full breadth of the spectrum.
All right, and then the other question I had was, when you said you looked at it in July, was that July this year you looked at it, or July 2012?
July.
You said you looked at Dude Solutions, and they had six.
Back in 2012.
Okay.
Okay. When I went to the village of Phoenix,
10,000 customers throughout the country.
In September.
Okay.
To look at.
I know. Okay.
They are a customer. They have it. Okay. Okay. They had a big problem with their sewer plant and their water plant. Some people nearly went to jail. So they're using it for something. I don't know what, but for the street crews, they're just barely. It's a communication tool, and it's simply the size of their. I mean, they have five guys. One lady, nice lady, that answers the phone. So she has to put down whatever she's doing and get into that system, and it's not effective for them. But maybe it will be something. I'm not down in them.
No, I know you're not. But I don't know about it, so I'm asking
you
to talk to somebody.
Bob Durassi is my hero. Don't be so hasty to jump in the water until you make sure what's in that water. So,
you know, there's no crisis right now. There's no time crisis. And I guess what I would like to do, I wish Joe was here, but we're running out of time. I would like to table this and at least have our town supervisor call up Dutchess County and say, and then come back to us in 2 weeks and say, look, I made the phone call. This is what Dutchess County is doing. I still think that
hey, it's great order.
You know, but you know, since the bridge hasn't fallen into the river here, it's like we're not dealing with a crisis on our hands. we can wait 2 weeks.
I think Joe mentioned tabling it. Didn't he
talk about some of the towns in Dutchess County?
Yeah. He said that we could pass it pursuant to the fact that we can.
I think earlier in the work session, he said something about tabling it if we needed to.
Yeah, I would like to table it.
I thought so. Joe said something about it. Maybe I'm thinking of a different.
I haven't read word for word. It's pretty thick.
Right.
I mean, it's a fairly standard contract. It's not a, you know, there's nothing.
I just, you know, it sounds like I'm slowing up the work. I would actually, I want to take off running. You know, so if you know, whatever company we settle on, I want to have the full confidence that, you know, we're all on board this thing, and it's gonna. So waiting 2 weeks to just make sure that we've dotted the I's and crossed the T's.
I agree. I have one more question for you, Tony. Should we item B? Should this be fixed before he signs it, or just because it doesn't? Should that?
Yeah, we can just cross it out and initial it. And you can sign
okay.
it.
Because
all he can do is cross it out, put his initial there, send it back, and tell them to initial it, return an executed copy to us.
Okay. So when we vote though tonight, we vote
minus that word. Yes.
Okay. And then he takes care of it.
Yeah.
As part of the resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the resolution needs to be changed.
Yeah, and as far as the due thing, too, my other concern is when you're talking fees and subscription, that should be part of the contract.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, I don't care if they attach it as an exhibit,
yep.
but it should
right.
be there instead of saying, well, a subscription, and then, you know, down the line you get into an argument about it, and, you know, where was it? Well, it wasn't there. And there's no reason, like you say, there's no urgency to this. And it's worth a call. So you call a couple towns down there that have
it. Oh, yeah.
Do you like it? Do you not like it? Does it work? Does it not work?
Yeah.
And if we can get in without paying the
$15,000. Especially if they like it. I'm all for it. I mean, I'd rather be overly cautious. All right, I'm going to leave.
The other thing I was, since we're running out of time, I was so happy. I'm on the Canton Woods board, and you know, I give a report about what the town is up to, and I brought up the, you know, we're still looking at the spray park. They said, build the darn thing, would you? I mean, they were like so
Canton
all
Woods?
Of us gung ho.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
This is Canton Woods.
That's nice.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
So I don't know where we're at with that thing, but I would like it. You know, I'd like to see some steam get put behind that. That train again. So.
All right. So. Oh, Joe's looking for that.
Joe went
dollar amount.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Dollar.
Yeah.
All right. So. All right. So he needs to change item B just slightly to incorporate this typo.
Yeah.
Right.
And then table the other one. That's another one. There's no time.
Okay.
We got plenty of time. And it won't go into effect until.
We're thinking the second meeting in January.
I like the little one, yeah. It's good for my back. I had injections done last month in my back. The slight injections.
Oh.
And it's like lidocaine and something else, and it's supposed to like break up the muscle. Six of them in my back.
See any improvement?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm going to do them again. I'm not really sure.